Scripture tells us that the strength of God is made perfect in our weakness. But what role should weakness play in the life of a Christian? Isn't weakness a bad thing? Coming up on Principles for Living, author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman unpacks this important and counterintuitive biblical truth. Principles for Living is a Southern Baptist teaching and evangelism ministry. Our mission is to help Christians by sharing God's principles in Scripture, and also to encourage others to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Join us for the next half hour as we teach Principles for Living. And welcome to our broadcast. Thanks for making us a part of your day today. Before we begin, we'd like to offer you our free booklet called Strength Through Weakness, based on today's message. Inside, Bill teaches us what it means to put our trust in the Lord and His strength instead of our own so that God can do His best work in us. You can request the booklet on our website absolutely free at principlesforliving.org or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. What does it mean that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness? It's all part of God's incredible plan to bring Himself glory and to show love and mercy to His children. Let's listen.
Nobody wants to be weak. Nobody dreams of growing up weak. We all hope to grow up strong. Strength is what we seek after. The prize goes to the winner. The strong win. Almost all of our quests in life involves seeking strength. We pray for strength, but is that a mistake? Maybe we should embrace weakness. Is weakness something of value that we tend to avoid, but maybe we should embrace? I love this saying that we must embrace guilt if we want to distance ourselves from it. In a similar way, if we want to be strong, we will need to embrace weakness. Avoiding weakness may actually cause us to become weak. Let's look at an example here. If we want to be with someone badly, we will often press and suffocate them with our affections and attention, and we can actually drive them away. On the other hand, if we're just ourselves, we tend to attract others by the very giftedness that God has put in us. What does the Bible teach about weakness? Let's listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The power of God's strength is made perfect through weakness. Exactly what does that mean? It means when we are at our weakest point, God can do His best work. It is so easy to get caught up in doing everything with the arm of the flesh. That's when we find ourselves not even needing God, because we can take care of ourselves. We become our own security. We bench God from playing the game of life with us. God wants us to be pliable in His hands. We can't be pliable when we're busy being strong in our own hands. So God uses our weaknesses to bring us to a point where He can work on us. That's when His work strengthens us. I have had times in my life when I have felt as if I've failed God and myself as well as those around me. I'm sure many of you can relate to that sentiment. I've often used the phrase that I'm failing my way to success. It's not that any of us want to fail. It's just that in life, we're going to make mistakes. One way to keep from making a mistake is to avoid doing anything. But doing nothing will cause failure in other ways. It's important to note that making mistakes is not a sign of weakness. We will make mistakes even when we aren't weak, but when it comes to strength, we should seek God's strength in us and not our strength in ourselves. Our greatest strength will be exposed when we give God the glory. God is very inclined to empower those who glorify Him. We often want to glory in our wisdom and strength, but actually, we will reduce our help from God when we do so, because we will be stealing His glory. In 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18, it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." If we want God's power, we need to be willing to give Him all the glory. Paul was exalted in his weakness because this glorified the Savior. That's where Paul found his strength. We can understand a little more about this strength that we get through weakness when we read 1 Corinthians 1:25. "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." In the Old Testament, we have the story of Gideon. This story exemplifies God's desire to receive the glory for what gets done. Not only that, but it shows us God's opposition to man's pride. Gideon had 32,000 men available to fight the Midianites. The odds were stacked against Gideon. Even against those odds, Gideon was willing to go and fight. But God said, "Wait a minute, you have too many people." Gideon was probably thinking he was appearing pretty brave going in to fight against such odds. But it was possible that he might have won, and if he did, undoubtedly there would have been a risk of self-glory. God needed to make sure Gideon's army was weak so they would not boast about what they had done. Let's take a look at the dialogue between Gideon and God in Judges 7, 2, and 3. "The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many men. I can't deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast about me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead.' So 20,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. We so desperately seek to be strong in life. God wants us to be dependent in Him. He doesn't want us to just be weak. He wants us to have strength that can be depended on, and that strength comes only from Him. The odds would have seemed to have gone down when 2/3 of Gideon's army went home, but that still wasn't good enough for God." Look what God did next in Judges 7, 4. "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go.'" God was in the process of making sure everyone would know the victory wasn't going to come from man's great abilities. God had one more tactic that He would use to weed down the army of Gideon. In Judges 7, 5 through 7, it says, "So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, 'Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink.' 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home.'" God was positioning Gideon in what may have looked like weakness, but it was actually a position of strength. In our own lives, we often need to be desperate and in a position of weakness before God gets the glory. Then, when we know we're weak, the strength comes. Many times I have fallen and was so discouraged with myself. I've tried and I wasn't going to commit a certain sin anymore. I had told myself it was over. I was serious and didn't think I would fall again. And then it happened. I let my guard down. I didn't realize it, but in hindsight, it was obvious that I was letting myself climb back into the position of king of my own life. I found myself looking forward to things that were going to be fun to do. My mind began to be more about me and less about God. That's when Satan comes and holds out to us a carrot of desire that we're most susceptible to. But I also learned something that was very powerful to me. God didn't waste those times of my hardship. He used them to cause me to meditate on what went wrong and to seek for answers as to why I had stumbled and fallen. Those have actually been some of the best times ever for me, when my weakness was revealed through my falling. I was able to realize I was still weak and needed more work done on me. That was work that only God could do.
You're listening to Principles for Living with Bill Zechman. Principles for Living is a ministry striving to help Christians grow in both knowledge and faith. We'd like to offer you our free booklet based on today's message called Strength Through Weakness, all about how God shows His strength when we allow ourselves to be weak. You can request the booklet on our website, absolutely free, at principlesforliving.org, or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. And now, back to today's program, where we're learning how God's strength is made perfect in our weakness.
As most have heard, necessity is the mother of invention. Sometimes we don't really use all that God has made available to us until we're down and out and see no way to victory. Then we refocus on God and His resources, which include His guidance. That guidance comes from His very Word, and meditating on it and allowing the Holy Spirit, who is in every true Christian, to reveal to us a way of escape from our weaknesses. There's an interesting scripture which I believe applies very well here. In Romans 6, 1-2, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" In this scripture, Paul may have been thinking of his reverence to being strong when he was weak. He asked the question, "Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" That's almost like saying, "Should I go ahead and just be weak so I can fail and have an opportunity to be strong in God's grace?" But his very own response was, "God forbid." Paul didn't want to be weak. He wanted to be strong. But he had learned the value of weakness. He had seen the benefits. That is what helped Paul rejoice in all circumstances. Often, we want to be strong and have security in what we're doing or going to do. To some of us, it doesn't bother us when the odds are heavily stacked in our favor. As a matter of fact, that's what we would prefer, because then we will be shown to be strong. But God has different preferences than we do. Our very salvation came from what God did, not what we did. We were dependent on Him for our very lives, our very souls. But we forget that truth because human nature is all about self-exaltation. We talk about self-esteem and self-actualization as if they were a good thing. The truth is, it is unbiblical. Jesus said we were to deny ourselves. He knew our every weakness, and He also knew that what we needed was Him living in us, directing our lives. Our problem is that even once we've let Him into our lives, we tend to still want to run the show. We don't renew our minds as we should, and we end up very ill-equipped to serve Him. It's critical that we learn that it's in our desperation that we give Him the glory that He deserves. God thinks much differently than we do. We don't ever worry about having too many resources, but God knows what having too many resources will do to us. Why do you think Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread? Do we ever brag about our weaknesses? Not usually. The reason is obvious. We feel ashamed of our weaknesses. But what should shame us is our pride. After all, the Bible says in Proverbs 6:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Our tendency to have pride and overconfidence is much worse for us than we can fathom. But weakness helps us to stay humble, if we will let it. Some people aren't humble even when they're very weak. They don't want to admit their weakness, so they run others down around them in an attempt to raise themselves up in the sight of men. When we are victorious in our Christian living, sometimes we want to take the credit for our victory over temptation. We tend to think it was our self-discipline that helped us overcome. We must remember that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, which is one of the many fruitful blessings of maturing in Christ. But unless we are connected to the root, which is Christ, who supplies the nutrients to us, we become no more than blossoms that fade and never develop into the fruit that God intended for us to mature into. Remember what the scripture in Judges 7:2 says. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me." God said he could not deliver them because Gideon's army was too strong. How many times have we had someone refuse to join causes with us because we were too strong? Probably never. The most important thing that I've learned about weakness is that it forces us to see if we are trusting God or ourselves. There have been many times in which I had to ask myself, who am I trusting? I have to admit, many times I was trusting myself. Thinking we are strong and powerful is very dangerous. In the Old Testament, we see Uzziah becoming very strong because God was blessing him. It says in 2 Chronicles 26:15, "In Jerusalem, he made devices invented for use on the towers and on the corner defenses so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the walls. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful." Oh, that we might be strong and powerful is often our cry. But if it ends in our demise and destruction, what good is it? In 2 Chronicles 26:16 it says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. This was forbidden and contested by the other priests. However, Uzziah didn't listen to them. He was mistaken into thinking his victories were because of him and his power. His strength became his demise. We see his ending in 2 Chronicles 26:21, where it tells us, "King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house. Leprosy banned from the temple of the Lord. Jonathan, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land." Our strength must come from God. If God needs to break us so we will finally rely on him, he may just do that. Why is it impossible to please God without faith? Faith is necessary to get us to look into something we can't see. We see what faith is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Since faith is a confidence in what isn't seen, it is impossible to please God without it. Faith is really trust in what we don't see. When we trust in ourselves, our trust is based on what we see, and there isn't any faith in God involved. When we begin to exalt ourselves, that is the beginning of a fall, not a rise. God is not on the side of the proud, but on the side of the meek. We see it says in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The spoils don't go to the strongest in God's kingdom. but instead to the meekest. Meek is not the same as weak. Meekness is humility, yieldedness, relying on God. This is what God considers as strength. God's promises are going to shine their brightest when we're in the middle of affliction and heartaches. We need to be able to look ahead in faith when we feel there isn't anywhere left to turn. When we are weak, then we are strong. We must not try to avoid pain so we can avoid being weak. In doing so, we may be hurting ourselves. We must let God have His way with us. We must trust Him, even when we don't understand what is going on. When we are weak, we shouldn't be moaning and groaning about our circumstances. Instead, we should be patiently waiting on God to do the work that He is doing. The truth of the matter is, we should be praying that we may be weak so He can be strong in us. Our society promotes strength, but God wants to see submission, humility, a lowly spirit, and purity. We can't be too weak for God, but we can be too strong. When we seek glory, God will not be willing to use us. He isn't interested in our glory. That's why we need to learn to glory in our weakness, so He can be exalted. True strength has a chance to work on our behalf when humility puts God on our side. Lauren Daigle tells us how trust is more important than clarity. I love what that tells us. It is saying that we don't need the security of clarity when we're standing with God. We don't need the clarity of our strength. What we need is trust in God's strength and acceptance of our own weaknesses. Jesus promotes meekness and humility. That is where the strength lies. We seem to miss the point that the flesh, in and of itself, is not strong. In Matthew 26:41, Peter said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You're told in Galatians 5:16 that you are to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The strength is in the Spirit. The letter is weak. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." In closing, I would like to say that many times we see God working powerfully in the lives of some very weak people. They know that only He should get the glory, and they're careful to make sure He gets it. God really will make us strong, even in our weakness, if we will just give Him the glory. And may God be glorified today, tomorrow, and forever.
You've been listening to author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman here on Principles for Living. Thanks again for spending time with us. Our program today is titled Strength Through Weakness. We hope it's encouraged you to grow in your daily walk with Christ. Principles for Living would like to send you even more teaching through our free booklet based on today's message, packed with biblical references and Bill's sharp insights. It's a handy guide to understanding why God does His best work in our lives when we embrace our own weakness and allow Him to have control. It's our free gift this month. Just request it when you call. You can call our toll-free number at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. Our mailing address is Principles for Living, P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. Again, that's P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. You can request the free booklet, Strength Through Weakness, by sending us an email. Our email address is info@principlesforliving.org. You can also request the booklet at our website, principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Principles for Living is a listener-supported nonprofit ministry. We rely on your prayers and financial support to continue to reach people for Christ. If you've been personally blessed by Bill Zechman's teachings, please consider sowing back into this work. You can make a tax-deductible gift of any amount at principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Join us next time, along with our host and Bible teacher, Bill Zechman, as we share truths for today, tomorrow, and forever, right here on Principles for Living.